just a second to acknowledge my wife, Katrina. What? She is such a wonderful woman of God, such a servant. Is that, anybody knows or knows? You know, a day like today, you know, where I'm just, I don't even know what I need. She's tending to me and she's all over things. And so thank you, darling. I appreciate you. Well, y'all know, most of you know anyway, for those of you who aren't new, you know that I'm responsible for the 9 a.m. service that we call the gathering, the one that's sort of on hiatus over the summer. And in the gathering, we have this rule. Worship in the Word is limited to 30 minutes. So that's pretty much what I'm used to, 30 minutes. So expect to be done in 30 minutes. Now, I know that a lot of you are not used to 45, maybe sometime an hour sermons. I apologize, I'm not going to be able to deliver on that today. But I expect each of you to handle your disappointment with grace and decorum, okay? Okay, now, my attire also may not be something that you're used to. For those of you who, this is typically what I wear at the gathering.
Same shirt.
Same shirt. I have a rotation of about six or seven. Thanks for noticing, though. So now, for those of you who are a little bit older, you know, a little bit more used to the traditional garb, you know, the suit and whatnot, I want to apologize for being a little bit underdressed. It's just what I'm used to. Now, for those of you who are younger and maybe a little bit less traditional, I apologize for being overdressed. It's just what I'm used to. Expect this message today to be a little bit more of a foundational message, something that you might hear at the gathering. I have been delighted to watch Pastor Lanny's messages evolve over the years. You know, he effortlessly seems to handle the complex issues of the kingdom. He's able to take them and dissect them down into bite-sized pieces. I once made the comparison this way between he and I. Pastor Lanny, he's really good at preaching to help you kind of walk on water. Me, my preaching, just to keep your head above water. So for those of us who have a tough time keeping our head above water, this message is for you. And it was inspired by an experience that I recently had. I recently visited a church when I was away from here. And the church has a good reputation in the area. And apparently it's a pretty fast-growing church as well. I was in the area, I had the time, so I decided to check it out. And overall, the experience was indeed quite positive. The worship was, you know, very fresh, although it did not necessarily require congregational participation. The message was also quite foundational. In fact, the message was the gospel message. It was simply a plea to receive Jesus Christ. Now, look, I have absolutely no problem with such a message. There's nothing wrong with such a message. But when a message like that is presented, you know, typically you expect something like an altar call or some other way to be able to minister to the people who were impacted by that message. But in the end, the congregation was simply dismissed. They were just kind of sent on their way. There was no follow-up. And I came to understand that that message, what it really was for, it was really for those who were already Christians, who were already believers, and who were already attending church. Okay, so then I was confused. Why are we having a salvation message for those who are already saved? And why is that church growing so fast in their area? Now, it took me a while, but I finally figured it out. First, the church had been able to reach out to people in their community with some success. Now, this is an excellent characteristic. And in fact, it was an area in which I wish we were more prolific. And it's one of the reasons that I'm so excited about the Leonardtown Beach Party thing that's coming up. We have a real opportunity to go out into the community where people are and serve them and meet their needs. So just an extra plug for that. I hope that you can make it for the training today, and I certainly hope that you can make it on August 11th. But also, the other characteristic about the church is that it was a safe place. It's a place where people are going to be able to stay for many years and simply hear the gospel message. It's a place where the messages are milk rather than solid food. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But as Pastor Lanny has pointed out over these past months, the kingdom of God is a lot more than just getting the salvation check in the block. There's more to it than just fire insurance. There is so much more to the kingdom of God than simply salvation. So today I decided to tailor my message to how we might access that much more things of the kingdom of God. How do we get to that point where we really experience the many gifts of the kingdom and what the Lord has for us? How do we get to the place where we stop seeing salvation simply as fire insurance and start seeing it as a retirement benefit? Okay, so let's go back and let's take this one step at a time. Now, I think we can all agree that the most foundational and most important message is the gospel message, the message of salvation. There is none more important, none more foundational. But what's next? What's the next most foundational message? The kingdom of God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone? Bueller? Anyway. All right. I can sum it up in three words. Running the race. Okay. By the way, Scripture uses this same analogy several times. Running the race. I can sum it up in two words. Moving forward. I can sum it up in one word. Discipleship. All right. Now, I want you to please take out your bulletins. You thought I was going to say Bible. Take out your bulletins. I want you to take a look on the front, see what it says. What does it say? Loving God, loving one another, reaching out and becoming mature disciples. You see, if you consider this your home church, then this is what you've already signed up for. Becoming mature disciples. Furthermore, it's in agreement with Scripture in Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19 says this: "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I know that Pastor Lanny is just getting into Matthew 28:19, and I'm guessing one of his several sermons on that topic is going to be on making disciples. I really hope I'm not stealing too much of his thunder, but oh well. All right, now, making disciples implies two things. First, that there are people willing to make disciples. And second, that there are people willing to be disciples. Right? As believers, we're all called to make disciples. But if we're to make disciples, then we have to be disciples ourselves. Just as the 12 were disciples of Jesus. Because who ever heard of a teacher who was not first a student? All right. So what are the consequences if we choose not to be discipled? What does that look like? Well, let's start with this. All right. Sorry, Tim, I'm taping up your carpet here. I use the low stick stuff. It'll come right up. How's it going? All right. So what is that? It's a blue line. Very observant, Don. Thank you. Yeah. It's a starting line, right? When we accept Jesus Christ, we cross the line. We start. We start the race. Hebrews 12. For though we're so surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us... Is it up there? Oh, very good. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Now, people who want to be Christians, people who want to be saved but not discipled, are like somebody who does this. Starting the race. Yeah. I got my fire insurance. I'm pretty good now. I know I'm going to be with the Lord someday. This is good. I think I'm just going to sit here, set a spell. I'll get up in a minute, I'm sure. See, those people, they never move forward in the kingdom. Because once you make a commitment to the Lord, you're supposed to start running the race. I mean, who crosses the line and just sits there? It's kind of like enrolling in a school, but then not having any interest in taking any classes. Well, why would you do something like that? It makes you wonder if their commitment to the Lord is actually authentic. But then again, thank God that's not my call. That's the Lord's. Furthermore, all along the race course, we see people who are just sitting there. People who just got to the point and decided that it was just too hard. You know what I mean? People who just decided that the cost was too much and that it just wasn't worth it. I really understand those people. Sometimes I want to just sit right there along with them. Just take a load off and set a spell. And you know, sometimes others will come along and we'll try to pull them up. Help them to move forward. Encourage them to move forward. This is one of the things that pastors do. And you know, you talk to any pastor, they'll tell you that one of their greatest disappointments is trying to encourage someone to move forward who will absolutely not be moved. And conversely, one of their greatest joys is when they're able to encourage somebody to get up and move, and he sees them move forward into victory. See, when it comes to discipleship, this is really what it's all about. It's simply about moving forward. One of my favorite quotes reads like this. Spiritual men are not always those who commit the fewest faults, but those who have courage, hope, and love. They are men who are not afraid of a stumble or even of a fall, so long as their progress is certain. Moving forward, always. Even if you stop briefly to catch your breath, even if you know you take three steps forward, you take a step back. Even if progress is slow, as long as you're moving forward in the kingdom, this is a sign of a disciple. Remember the parable of the talents? It's in Matthew 25. A man is going on a journey, and he entrusts his property to his servants. He gives his servants talents, and his expectation is that what he has entrusted to them will grow during the time in which he's away. When he returns, he finds that two of the servants have grown their talents, but the third one has done nothing with the talent that was entrusted to him. And you'll notice that for the two servants who were faithful and who grew their talents, the master blessed them greatly. And you'll also notice that for the servant who took his talent and buried it in the ground, as it says in verse 30, he was thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds bad. Yeah. I'm a little fuzzy on this good, bad thing, but I think that's bad. Okay. You see, to the Lord, it does not matter how many talents we've been entrusted with. It may matter to us, but it doesn't matter to the Lord. What matters to the Lord is what to do with the talents with which we've been entrusted. Those who wish to be discipled are growing the talents entrusted to them. Those who don't have buried their talents in the ground. Those who wish to be discipled are moving forward. Those who don't are sitting alongside the race course. Those who wish to be discipled are focused on connecting with the living God. And those who don't are focusing on excuses. That's the difference. What good is it to have faith, but then to do nothing with it? Faith without works is... yeah. Dead. Where is that in Scripture anyway? Well, I don't have the answer. James 2. Very good, Jerry. James 2. In your spare time, I encourage you to take a look at it. I'm going to go through some verses here, but I'm going to just pick out some selected verses as I go between 14 and 26. But I want you to take a look at it. Make sure that I haven't taken it out of context. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" And then down to 17. "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Let's see. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God." Good. Even the demons believe that. And shudder. And then on the 24, "You see that a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone." And 26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Pastor Lanny said something a couple weeks ago that really caught my ear. Christianity is an action plan. It's not a belief system. What good is it to say that we have faith, have the faith that saves, but then do nothing with it? Faith without moving forward in the kingdom is kind of like a sailboat with no sail. Now, what is the point of that? So the one who doesn't wish to be discipled is the one who's sitting at the side of the race course, the one who cannot be moved. I know people who will likely never change. People who are the same today as they were 20 years ago. People who will likely be the same in 20 more years. Now, why is this? It's because they've accepted the Lord, but they have never been able to accept who they are in the Lord. They've never been able to settle in their spirit who they are now. And so they just keep accepting the lies that they've always been told. And the enemy has broken their will. And they sit and they decay like a fallen tree decays back into the ground from which it came. Kind of a bummer. Don't worry, it's nobody here. No. Everybody's so quiet. It's not you. Now, I know what I've done in introducing this topic, exactly what I've just said. Some of you are probably sitting uncomfortably. Thoughts running through your head. Is he talking to me? How does he know about me? Oh no, am I one of those people who's chosen not to be discipled? Have I buried my talent? Am I sitting down and no longer running the race? Wait. Is he saying that I'm not even saved if I'm not doing something with my talents? If these or similar questions are running through your head, let me help put your mind at ease and also provoke you. Okay, so you can ask yourself these questions. Have I confessed with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, as stated in Romans 10:9? If your answer to this is yes, well, then the issue of salvation is settled. Be at ease. on the other hand, let's answer some of these questions. Is there someone, is there some brother or sister in my life to whom I am accountable? Is there someone in my life I have submitted to as my spiritual authority? Is there someone in my life who challenges me to move forward? Am I moving forward into a more intimate relationship with the Lord? Am I a different person today than I was a year ago or 3 months ago? Pick a time. Do I have a more intimate relationship with the Lord today than I had a year ago? Or pick a time. Now, if the answer is no in any of these cases, then you may have to honestly deal with whether you're moving forward in the kingdom or not. And we're going to give you that opportunity here in a little bit. So don't fret. Now, I'm about to make a transition here from disciplee to discipler. But before I do, I want to direct your attention to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's in chapter 5, it's verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. The Amplified Version puts it like this. You who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. So those who are younger are exhorted to submit, to obey, to yield to learn from those who are older. Put another way, younger Christians, let yourself be discipled by, be taught by older believers, older Christians. New believers, submit yourselves to be taught. Older believers, be available to teach. All right, so now let's shift gears fully. Let's take a look at what a person looks like in the kingdom who has chosen to not make disciples. A believer who's disobedient to the call in Matthew 28:19, in which we're told to go and make disciples. Now, a person who does not make disciples is also likely someone who has never submitted to be a disciple. Someone like this may go further along in the race course, but this person is sitting and not running the race just the same. He's further down the road, but he ain't heading toward the finish line either. He may be someone who reached a certain level of growth, but it was probably due simply by assimilation, just because he'd been hanging around for a long time. You know, there are places that you can go where you can just hang around for 20 years and never be encouraged to move forward. You can just sit there and keep hearing just these same old messages. No one there to exhort you, to push you forward. Parenthetically, I want you to know that this is not one of those places. So in this place, we reach out and we are committed to making mature disciples, just as it says in the bulletin. And I can tell you from experience that in this house, there are plenty of people to challenge you to move forward so that the manifest destiny that has been placed upon your life can be realized, so that the fullness of your encounter with the Lord can be realized, so that the fullness of your gifting can be realized. So if you're not interested in being challenged and becoming a mature disciple, there are places in this world for you, but it ain't here. All right, so let's go back. Imagine having a disciple with no one to disciple them. Imagine having a student without a teacher. Imagine the apostles without Jesus, or the servants without the master and the talents. Okay, now, is something like that hard to imagine? It just doesn't make sense, right? Because without the teacher, there are no students. Without Jesus, there are no apostles, and so on. Rhonda Harris. I told her I was going to do this. I want everyone to raise their hand if they have been discipled or if they have been instructed or in some other way influenced by Rhonda Harris and her prophetic ministry. Raise your hand, please. You see that? Rhonda, you take a look around too. Take a look around. Look at all them hands that are up. Okay, you can put them down. I greatly admire Rhonda and her prophetic gifting. I greatly admire her and her willingness to move forward and having that gifting developed. But you know what I even more admire about Rhonda Harris? I admire her choice to disciple others in the area of the prophetic. This is leaving a legacy in the kingdom. But you know what? To do otherwise is really selfish. To be a member of the body for so many years, have all kinds of experience, have well-developed spiritual gifts, and then not to disciple others in that way is simply selfish. Let's take a look at Romans real quick. Romans 14, we'll go verse 13, and then we're going to jump to 17. In Romans 14, 13, it says this, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." You see, folks who choose not to make disciples are usually the folks who go around passing judgment. They're usually more concerned about what you can eat or what you can drink or what you can do, what you can't do. They're usually more concerned about the rules and the regulations. And this shows a certain level of immaturity. Just like an older child who has not yet grown to manhood. You know, because the older child, they know what the rules and the regulations are, right? They know. But they have not yet fully grasped the principles of responsibility that permit them to live freely of those rules. Pastor Lanny likes to tell this story of one of the more enlightened congregants many years ago who caught someone outside smoking a cigarette. The smoker was a newer Christian who had just started attending the church. So this enlightened congregant naturally had to go and tell the smoker all about the evils of the practice and about how Christians don't do that and so on. So the smoker hung his head in disappointment and left the church never to return. Now, just to be clear, I'm not endorsing smoking, okay? I tell this story to illustrate the difference between discipleship and passing judgment. Okay? Discipleship is about establishing relationships. Passing judgment is just about spiritually shooting someone in the head. Jerry likes that one. Capping somebody. So for those of you who are older in the Lord, all the previous questions I just asked about moving forward, you know, getting more intimate with the Lord and so on, they apply to you as well. Plus, you disciples, you get bonus questions. Is there someone in your life that you are challenging regularly to move forward? If not, well, why not? And if so, has it been as productive as it could be? Now, some of you may be wondering, if you are really more a disciplee, the one to be discipled, or a discipler, the one who makes disciples, then you'll be happy to know that the answer to that question is yes. You are probably both. First of all, no matter how old you are in the Lord, you should be discipled. Always growing, always moving forward. Because the race is not over until your body assumes room temperature. Understand? All right? Next, how old do you have to be to make disciples? The answer is probably just a little bit older than the person you're discipling. Let me illustrate this with my first encounter with discipling. I first became a believer about 20 years ago now as a young naval officer when I was deployed on the USS Constellation. After I accepted the Lord, me and the man who led me to the Lord, his name is Evan, we made it a practice to get together every night, and he would teach me about the things of the Lord. For the rest of the cruise, we got together every night. I was willing to be discipled. He was willing to disciple. And I am so thankful for his willingness, because that time of discipleship established the foundation for the rest of my walk. And the thing is, when this excellent time of discipleship was taking place, Evan was only 4 years in the Lord himself. So he was kind of pretty new, actually. But it doesn't really matter if you're 4 years or 1 year or 3 months or a week in the Lord. We all have the same charge: to go forward, make disciples. So let me start bringing this thing to a conclusion. How can I apply some of this stuff to our own lives? You can start by asking some of the questions that I asked earlier. Am I moving forward in the kingdom? Am I developing a more intimate relationship with the Lord? Do I have someone to challenge me to move forward, to whom I am accountable? Am I challenging someone to move forward? Someone who is accountable to me? Older men and women, please be available. Look for folks who could use a hand. Go out and minister to someone. Even if they're not believers, go out and serve them. Lead them to the Lord, then disciple them. Works out easy. Young men and women, look for someone with whom you can identify. Someone who can be a mentor. Someone who can encourage you and challenge you to move up to the next level. Start small. Make a small commitment, one small step at a time. Remember that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So make a commitment before the Lord. You know, I've found that the commitments before the Lord, they're really kind of incremental. You know, when we become believers, we commit our life to the Lord, but, you know, we don't really understand what that commitment means. But as we grow in the things of the Lord, we're given these new challenges, and we are repeatedly given the choice to make a new commitment, a new decision to move further along in the race. And so, with each new challenge is an opportunity to make a new commitment before the Lord. Rhonda, do you have something? Come on up.
Can you guys hear my voice?
Yes.
Do I need the...
What?
Are you okay?
What?
Oh, you're so funny. We've had, I feel like there are two encouragements from the Lord. And I'm going to let Liz share her encouragement of what she saw. And then I'm going to ask Katie to share her piece.
That's the way we can get it on tape.
This is Liz's first time up here. So.
Okay, so go easy on her.
This morning, I had a vision of a person desperately searching for more of God. They were running, they were throwing things everywhere, just trying really hard to search about, crying for him. And what this person didn't realize is all they had to do was turn around, because in the midst of all this, God was following him or her the whole time. So...
what I want you to gather from that is, whoever that is in your heart where you feel like you've been searching for God, and you know what? We can come to places in our walk with the Lord where we feel like we're searching for God. Who's been there? Oh, come on. Yeah. So you could be in that place where you know the Lord, but you're searching desperately for him. And there are times in our lives when he will deliberately hide himself to bring that out in us. I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you, and we want to invite you up here for prayer for that.
Come on now.
Okay. And then I have another piece.
I tell you what, let's do it this way. Is anybody that word speaks to? Good. Susan, I knew that it would to you. Come on forward. Come on up. That's you, Frank. Come on. Let me move this out of the way.
We have a second word of encouragement.
Okay, the Lord showed me a picture of a rose today during worship, and I felt like the rose represented the things that, the new experiences the Lord might be bringing forth, the gifts he might be bringing out in individuals. And as you were reaching for the rose, there are thorns on it that are pricking you and making you feel discouragement. So as you are reaching for the things of the Lord, you're feeling like you have setbacks coming before you. And I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage people who are feeling this way, and that as we grow mighty in the Lord, setbacks do come and you do face opposition, but they're not meant to hold you back at all. They're meant to cause you to push forward in the things that the Lord has for you.
Now, let me ask this, though. This word that you got, did you get this word before you knew what my message was about?
This was during worship I received.
Before she knew what my message was about. Okay. This is cool stuff. All right. Can I get some ministers up here, please? All right, now, if this speaks to you at all, either the message or the words that have just, the prophetic words that have just been given, then I'm going to invite you to come forward. We get some music or something. Okay, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you feel as though you're kind of sitting there alongside the race course, you're a sailboat with no sail, whatever analogy you want to use. You feel as though you're not living a legacy. You just kind of are stagnant. Well, let's get it right. Let's get it settled before the Lord so that we can get you moving forward in the kingdom. Where's Robbie? Robbie, come here, Robbie. Robbie has this cool, he has this little dog tag on. Superman logo. Underneath it says, go forward. All right. So folks who are done, I don't know why. It just spoke to me when he was coming up for communion. So if you're looking forward, you're tired of being stagnant and sitting there, and you're looking to go forward, well then come on up and let's get it settled. Who is it that, who is it that's in pain? Is there anybody that's in pain? Who's in pain? Got one, two? Okay. Who got healed last week? Where's Liz? Oh, Liz is already up there. You got healed last week? You got faith for healing today? Well, come on up. Let's pray for some people who need some healing. Who else? Anybody else got healed the past couple weeks? I can't believe that. All right. Come on up here. Turn around, start praying for some sick folks. Some hurting folks. Hurting folks. Yeah, I guess he did. And as always, you're welcome to stay here and pray so that these folks get blessed, and then well, obviously you're also free to be dismissed to go to the sunroom where we can hang out and have some refreshments.